Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. For the last 5 months, residents of four city council districts around New York were able to collectively decide on how to spend around $6 million of city money. The votes are in. And joining me to discuss the results and this new form of local democracy is City Councilmember Brad Lander, who represents the 39th District in Brooklyn, and Alexa Kazdan, Director of Research and Policy for the Community Development Project at the Urban Justice Center. Brad, welcome back to WNYC. Welcome, Alexa.
Good morning. Thanks so much for inviting us.
So, Brad, you were on the show last October, and you were talking about the start of the project. So let's remind listeners who may not be familiar how it works.
Yeah, so participatory budgeting, it's been going on around the world 20 years now, started in Brazil, but never before in New York City. And the idea is, who knows better what the problems are and what the solutions are in their neighborhoods than the folks who live there? So we started in the fall, four council members, Melissa Mark-Viverito, Jumani Williams, Eric Ulrich, and I, bipartisan group from across the boroughs. We opened it up and said, first, come tell us what your ideas are. And in my district, nearly 1,000 people gave ideas at local meetings, online, sent us in the mail, all across the map, all across the district, and so many different kinds of ideas, things in schools, in parks, on the streets. And that's where we were in October when we talked about all the different ideas people gave at those neighborhood meetings. Then, over the last few months, about 100 people in my district and hundreds around the city volunteered to be what we called budget delegates, and they met in committees, a schools committee, streets and sidewalks, parks, culture and community facilities, and sifted through all the ideas, tried to figure out which ones were a little too off the wall, which ones had a lot of community support, and then which ones are feasible. Let's talk to the agencies, see how much they would cost, can they be done? And they did the hard work of researching the projects and deciding what was on the ballot. We got to a ballot in my district of 20 projects, and that was what was on the ballot this past weekend for voters.
Now, Alexa, Brad mentioned that this idea started in Brazil, and I understand that it was meant to really sort of bring poorer people into the process, people who sort of did not really have much budgetary control. What happened in New York? What were the demographics of the participants?
In New York, we saw that the process brought people that were long-term residents in their neighborhoods, but many of whom had not previously worked for community change. We saw a diverse cross-section of New Yorkers. So we saw 46% of people of color were voters, according to our preliminary data, and about 64% people of color were neighborhood assembly attendees. We saw about 20% of voters had incomes less than $25,000 a year, and about half of the neighborhood assembly participants had incomes below the median in the four districts.
Brad, how do you feel about the numbers of people participating? Was it what you expected, more or less?
Well, it was more. So we this past weekend, in just my district, over 2,200 people came out to vote across the city. We don't have all the tabulation done, but more than 5,000 people came out to vote. And even more, and so that was, you know, that was more than we had. Our goal was less than that. We had a goal of 1,600, so many more people came out. At one point, the Windsor Terrace Library, the line was about 100 people long, snaking through the whole library, all different kinds of people. There's a big Bangladeshi community, Latino community, of course, longtime families, yuppies, really across the board, and talking to each other. But just as much as the numbers was the real quality of the interactions people met. You know, they may have come to it saying, I want this project for my school or my park. But in these groups that they wound up, these budget delegate volunteers that we had 100 of, giving hours to learning about other projects, reaching out to schools where no one had come to, to one of the neighborhood meetings, and agreeing in some cases to put self-interest aside in order to support other people's projects and broader projects.
So let's hear from a couple couple of the participants whose projects got funding. Joining us now are George Sanchez and Christine Petro from Councilmember Landers District. Welcome, George and Christine.
Thank you.
So let's learn about your projects. And Christine, let's start with you. What was your project? And tell us a little bit about sort of how you got involved in this process.
Sure. Our project was called Brooklyn Neighbors Composting. It's a project to increase the capacity of composting that happens in our district. The way that I got involved, I received an email from Councilman Lander's office early in the process inviting us to give our ideas at neighborhood assemblies. So my idea was compost. I didn't exactly know what that was going to look like as far as a project proposal, but I just thought that we needed to see more composting happening in our community. There's actually a lot of it happening already. There's a significant amount of residents who drop off their food scraps at the farmers market at Grand Army Plaza. About a ton of food scraps are collected every week, and this has been going on for now about a year, as facilitated by the Grow NYC organization. So we wanted to see those food scraps actually be processed within the district and become compost that or soil amendments that we could distribute within our district to our parks and gardens, community gardens and schools and backyards.
Talk a little bit more about how you sort of got from we need more compost to this is my project.
Right.
Did you research it? Did you call the city? What did you do?
What did I do? Well, I started talking to the folks at the Grow NYC compost collection at the farmers market. I know very little about the technical side of composting, and it, like I said, I didn't know how this would take shape as far as a project would go. So I just started chatting with them and saying, we're working on this thing called participatory budgeting. I really don't know how this is going to turn out or what this is going to look like, but you all know what you're doing and you do a lot of it. So I think we should, talk and see if you're interested in working with us. And there was a lot of reception there. So we began with environment committee meetings. I was on the environment committee, and it became clear that composting was a project the committee was interested in developing further. So I was on the compost subcommittee.
Did you lobby for compost?
Did we lobby for compost?
Did you go and campaign and try to get votes? And
we absolutely did. That part came after a very complex process of developing the proposal and figuring out exactly what we needed to do. What does it mean to spend capital money? What are we going to buy? What are we proposing? So we had to put all of that together, and that's where we had to bring in first the technical expertise of master composters and folks that are already doing this really, really well in the district. And then after hours and hours of planning and late nights developing our proposal, we started on the promotion process. So we said, gosh, are there people in the district that are interested in this? And if so, how do we reach out to them? And how do we get them to come to the polls to vote? So we did do a lot of reaching out via email. We actually stood in strategic places at the farmers market with flyers and at the Park Slope Food Co-op and places where we thought people were congregating that would be interested in bringing this level of sustainability and waste management to our district.
So people in your neighborhood are going to see what now?
They are going to see in Gowanus, they're going to see a system. It's called an in-vessel composter system. It's basically an 8-by-30-foot container that is going to help us process all the waste that we collect. They're going to see hopefully more drop-off points within the community. Because we have this system now, we're able to process about 7 times what we do now. We're relying on a team of very dedicated volunteers that every weekend build a compost pile by hand. So there's a lot of pitchforking and shoveling going on, and it's a really great workout, but we're hoping that once we get this processor in, we don't have to rely as much on the manual labor, and then we can produce this compost, and then we can focus on getting it back to our land, to the parks and gardens and such.
All right, George Sanchez,
yes.
You had a library project. Tell us about that.
We had a couple library projects. We had the Kensington one, which is the one that got funded. We also had one in Carroll Gardens that had a lot of support. I think it was number 7 in the voting, so it didn't quite make it, but hopefully we can find other ways to get the necessary funding for that, because it was in the community was very much supported. I didn't have a particular project because I just wanted, when Brad sent out the email, I was so excited because I was aware of participatory budgeting in Brazil, which has been going on since 1989. So the opportunity to do something here in New York locally with that process, I was very excited. So I jumped in right away, and I was torn about what group to go in. Education was my first passion, but then the arts and culture is another equal passion, and it wasn't as big a group when we met, so I went with that group, and it was a great process, and it was quite an experience.
So what is your project? How did you develop the idea, and what is it?
Well, I worked with a team of people. Our committee was chaired by Karen Atlas and somebody that I've worked with before. So I actually felt like I was more of a facilitator. I didn't have a project. I worked closely with the community person, Vince Joseph, on the Carroll Gardens project, but I can't say that there was that project that I came, that I brought to the menu of options. But I did really work closely with the committee members to really fine tune all the projects that we put forth to try to get on the ballot and to get selected. So I really felt like in this one I was more of a facilitator, and was one who was there to support the process and to see this through, because I really want to see New York City adopt this as a yearly event. And hopefully, if anything, we learned that we had, you know, it was just a great process, and I'd love to have more time to do it and get more people involved.
So what did the culture committee get?
So the Kensington
Library. And another real strong project that didn't come through was the language monument.
Okay, but what did you get? What won in the culture area?
The Kensington Library.
Okay, so
That's new books and equipment for their community rooms, so there'll be a better ability to use the community space for small performances, rehearsals, music, storytelling, as well as some new books and DVDs at the new Kensington Public Library.
All right, and that is, of course, Councilman Brad Lander. I want to thank both Christine Pietro and George Sanchez for joining us to talk about your projects. And Councilman Lander, what about that? What about what George said about this becoming more widespread?
Absolutely. So first, I just want so listeners know, those were 2 of the 7 projects that got funded. The top vote getter was the very practical renovation of 2 just disgusting bathrooms at PS124 that really won people's hearts over. And you can see all 7 projects and then all the ones that didn't win 2 at bradlander.com and get a real deep sense of all the projects. But the 4 of us, the 4 council members, Mark Viverito, Ulrich, Jamani Williams, and I, are committed to do it again next year, because I think we were really moved by how many people came out. And we're talking with other people in the city and beyond. This past weekend, there was actually an international conference here with folks from Germany and Denmark and South America and Canada. That possibility, the fact that when you give people a real opportunity to work together with others in decision-making, they step up, they come out, they do research, they make smart decisions, they see both their own self-interest and the big picture, I think is catching on. And I think more and more people are going to be doing it here. You can't make every decision this way, that's for sure. But investing people in these real, concrete, close-to-the-ground decisions, we found was, as the New York Times called it last weekend, revolutionary civics in action. And we do think it's an idea that's going to keep growing.
Now, Alexa Kasdan of the Urban Justice Center, you were talking to us a little bit about sort of the broad metrics. What else did you observe about the process?
One of the other things that was really interesting, I think, like Brad was saying, is that, you know, people didn't just show up to this process. People were actively engaged. So we saw that almost everyone that came to a neighborhood assembly proposed an idea, and almost everyone that came to a neighborhood assembly actually spoke and participated. And we saw that people's interest in government increased. We saw that their interest in participating in their community increased.
How did that manifest itself? How could you tell?
So we did surveys at almost every phase of the process. We collected about 1,000 surveys at the neighborhood assemblies. We collected so far about 3,000 surveys at the votes. And we asked people sort of before and after questions about their contact with government, their trust in government, and also sort of changes that they've seen through the process.
And Brad Lander, I mean, both Christine Pietro and George Sanchez seem to be very jazzed Did people tell you that they want to participate next year, that they want to bring in more people? What did you hear from constituents about that?
Absolutely. I mean, the vote, the set of people that have been engaged throughout certainly had some bumps. I mean, talking to folks about how much these projects cost, about how long they take, there were bumps and real dialogue and some hard issues along the way. But the delegates came out, the vast majority of them, saying we really want to do it again next year. We learned so much. And then at the vote this weekend, where there were, as I say, in my district, more than 2,000 people, I can't tell you how many of them came up and said, you know, we just learned about this last week when, you know, we got a flyer, and we're really excited about it, and we'd love to get more involved next year. Here's my idea for next year. Can I serve on one of those committees? So, you know, not everyone has that much time, but I really think that we'll see a growth in participation.
And to what extent, you know, were there tensions? Were there, you know, obviously not everything can be funded. Did different communities sort of, you know, say, well, you know, it's our turn, we deserve this, your other thing doesn't deserve it, you know, your district, you know, it's got some very wealthy areas, it's got some less wealthy areas. Were there tensions about where the resources were going to go?
Well, actually, on that front, I think things were, there were some challenges, as I say. I think the biggest ones were as budget delegates tried to grapple with the challenging, you know, sometimes bureaucratic processes of funding, how much things cost, what the rules are for what you can and can't do, that don't always make sense to people. And so that certainly led to some frustrations. There were definitely people who had projects they hoped would get on the ballot and that the committees didn't decide to put on the ballot. And, of course, some people wanted to see other projects. We had 20 projects. They were all great. So the 13 that didn't get funded, I know there's some disappointment there. All that said, if you could see the way people related to each other, and again, the projects that did make it are this real balance. You know, PS 124 that got the most votes, very few of those votes are people that have kids at PS 124. Those are people who took a look and said, you know what, of all the items on the ballot, that's really the biggest need.
And that's the bathroom doors.
Yeah, you can go online and see some of these pictures. The stalls are just too small for the kids, and so they don't have doors, and the kids are embarrassed to go to the bathroom. And you know, if you took a look at that, you thought, you know what, I'd really like to have this amenity in, you know, in the park near my house, but I think I should vote for that. It's a shame maybe that I need to, but, there's a great mix of these more imaginative projects like the composting and the real practical ones like the bathroom, and it's not always easy to make those decisions, but not only did they get made democratically here, they really did get made with a civic spirit that I think, you know, you don't always see enough of and is something really special when you do.
Now, in reading about the process, I heard about people in East Flatbush that, you know, wanted to sort of create a green promenade. And we're told, you know, you can't do that because this is only partly under the jurisdiction of parks. And, you know, for people who are not in government, you know, it doesn't, like, those kinds of distinctions seem crazy. Okay, well, this is parks and this is DOT and this is the MTA. And I'm wondering if you think that, you know, this is going to sort of cause a look at how budgeting is done, because it goes in through these pots, through the agencies, and they don't necessarily make sense. A lot of the reasons of why they exist are lost to history.
So, you know, I think it's a great point, and there were, in all four of our districts, things like that, where people had ideas that everyone said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, we really need it, and bumped up against agency jurisdiction or capital eligibility rules. And some of those are going to find ways to move forward anyway. Maybe this process wasn't the right one because it's going to be too expensive, or there's a longer planning process to bring all those agencies to the table, and hopefully people can keep pushing forward. You know, one idea that almost got funded on mine were some bus countdown clocks. So, you know, when the next bus is coming, there's policy change that has to happen to get that in place. And I think we've got some new activists to help us get there. So, you know, sometimes that means looking at a new rule. Sometimes it means people just have to sort of find another door to try to go through.
But what about reorganizing government? I mean, if you start bringing citizens in and all kinds of people look at it, they start questioning these rules, which those of us maybe are more familiar don't even question anymore because we're so familiar with them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think some of them there's a real good reason for, and you just can't change them. Sometimes it's been that way so long, nobody knows why, and some sunlight and some new energy will get them to change. And sometimes it also raises the broader questions about the budget. You know, right now, parks projects take an awfully long time to design because we keep cutting the parks budget. And so a few people said, hey, maybe we have to have a bigger conversation about how we afford the things we want and what it means that we've kept cutting the parks department, you know, the same with the schools, the same with other things. So I really do hope it will bring people into the process of pushing for more accountability, transparency, and participation, and trying to get to the budget and other planning processes that help us get there.
All right. Thank you so much. We have to leave it there. I want to thank Councilmember Brad Lander of Brooklyn and Alexa Kasdan of the Urban Justice Center. And we'll be keeping an eye on participatory budgeting next year. And there's a website, I believe, that tells you the winners.
That's right, pbnyc.org, Participatory Budgeting New York City, pbnyc.org.
Right. Or we will also link to that from the Brian Lehrer Show page.
Very good.
Which is maybe somewhat easier for people to remember. Thanks so much to both of you.
Really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
When we come back, we will travel across the world to Syria. Right after this.